Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast. As you can see, we have another special guest episode this week. We have Mr. Tim Stewart of Tim Stewart Fitness fame, but you're not Tim Stewart Fitness anymore, are you?
Team CBC.
Not even Tim Stewart CBC.
Tim Stewart, Team CBC.
Oh, it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, don't ring.
I think you just change it. Tim Stewart underscore Team CBC, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that wasn't taken.
There's a lot of Team Stewart. Team CBC is growing, to be fair. We'll chat about Team CBC. So anyway, we've got Tim on. Me and Tim go way back. Me and Tim are like that. So I've known Tim since what? Was like 18, 19? I pretty much started training, I kind of knew who you were because you were from near me.
Scunny.
Both from near Scunny. Beautiful place of the world. So
have you been back?
Yeah, I've not neglected my family, mate. I've gone and seen them.
I have.
But not too fair. I'm not from Scunny. You're from where?
Roby Brig.
Brig, yeah.
But then, so, too fair. The only family I've got up north moved as well, so I have no reason to go back.
I'm from closer to Donny, so like. What's around Epworth and that?
Epworth's nice, mate. So is Roby though.
Yeah, I don't know Roby. Brig's alright. It's not bad, is it? Scunny itself, like Scunny, Grimsby, Donny, like the main towns or cities are grim.
Yeah,
but they're all very similar.
A lot of them have got like lovely
villages
surrounding it. So anyway, I've known Tim for years. We trained together a few times back in the day.
Rezzo.
Pure Loughborough. Yeah. No, Loughborough Uni.
Loughborough Uni gym. Yeah. Hollywell.
M10.
Yeah, we trained at M10. Right. And then you've known each other from me, basically.
Yeah, I think.
Usually most people know you from me.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah,
I knew him from you.
Yeah, that's what happens, mate.
I couldn't state you. Do you remember?
Mate, we both disliked
you. You followed me.
Yeah, and I called Tim out on this. I was like, because Tim was sound.
Bro, why did you follow me?
I was like, bro, why did you unfollow me? And you were like, oh, I just didn't really like what you were posting. I was like, fair enough.
You should be honest about it.
No, I literally said, I was like, fair enough. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. Because we got on well in person.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck, bro?
When you was at Pure Gym, when you were dead young, like 18, but still massive at 18, with that string around.
The Gymshark one. Yeah. I'd pull it, so it was like Gymshark.
Yeah, nip would always be out.
To be fair, you wore that Gymshark vest not even that long ago.
That probably worked
like
last year
in Rotterdam.
I didn't wear it, but it was like 2021. I was like, I could probably still just about rock this. And then, since then it's been gone. But yeah, we've known each other for a fair few years. Yeah. And I always say, like, whenever we spoke about you, we've mentioned you a few times. We're always like, we get on well with Tim. So it's a surprise. We said beforehand, it's a surprise you've not been on before.
Because I'm surprised.
If you think about like how you are, like we always like get on quite well. Yeah. Like whenever we're at shows, we'll have a chat. I think our humour's like roughly the same.
Pretty
like
similar,
you seem to sync well. So give a bit of an intro, mate. What are you all about now? Are you an athlete still? You kind of sack that off? I mean, you sack it off every 6 months.
Yeah. I couldn't go. I haven't had time.
So you competed once. How did that go?
Yeah, overall.
I
came fourth in my class.
At four. That was ages ago, wasn't it?
I think I was 20 or just.
Against Mo Samuels, wasn't it?
Mo Samuels and Casey Kim Conway as well.
Wasn't Mo in a hospital like 2 weeks out?
Yeah, and still did it.
Wasn't he like dying or whatever?
I was robbed.
Yeah, you were robbed.
Still did it.
We all were, mate. If you don't win a show, you're robbed. Whoever you are.
I was fully backstage thinking, I've got this. I was pure.
To be fair, you were never men's physique. Like your legs were pretty good. Like just a tall bloke.
Just a tall bloke with a little bit of muscle.
Tall shit.
What do you got? A tiny.
I've never seen you from the front. I didn't know what your face looked like. I've only ever seen you from the back.
There's a reason for that. As well.
There'll be people going, "Who the fuck's that?"
I got a great back. Lats look great. They're non-existent.
Actually, people might have seen you from your reels.
Yeah.
Gonna get some reels today, guys. I love reels.
Good
me
reels
and Tim
today.
Have just been chatting about reels.
Mate, you're putting like 3 reels up a day.
Mate, I'm not joking. Every single piece of kit,
you're telling me how to use it.
Wait until next week. I've got more and more coming. Sorry,
every day coming, mate.
Yeah. I'm kind of in athlete mode a little bit.
Yeah.
More than I have been. Just coaching.
Run us through like a year by year. So when did you get into this? So you were young.
You were into it like 16, early 17. Days. Yeah.
How old are you now? You're my age, aren't you? 25? 25. Yeah.
16, 17. And then, I don't know, when did we meet? Probably 18, 19, something
like
that.
When I was
like
at uni, so I'll have been like 19, you'll have been 18.
I remember you just went, I came to yours in Loughborough. And to be fair, that's when I was like, this is something I want to do. Because then I went and got a PT job at Pure. So I was a PT for a bit, went to uni, and then started coaching straight after I competed. I've just been coaching
since. Yeah, because you went to uni. Where did you go to uni first?
I did my degree at Birmingham.
Then I went to
Loughborough, did my master's.
Yeah. That feels like ages ago.
Mate, it feels like ages ago.
It was, to be fair, though. Because that like lockdown, like before COVID, wasn't it? Yeah, then into that. And then, like, if you think about how the last few years have gone, like, it's been pretty, like, rapid increase, you know, in like
in the last year for me it's been an exponential increase. Yeah. But that's also to my own fault from leaving for a fucking year.
Yeah. So what happened?
Head loss. Absolute head loss.
Okay. Come on.
Bro, I don't know. I was at a
when did you compete? 2020, 2019.
2019, 2018.
And then
2019?
It will have been
2 years before you, 3 years before you, 2018.
I competed in 2020, so 2018.
So you competed then? And then was your goal like, right, you're going to get bigger, did you enjoy the prep? Like what?
Loved prep.
Yeah.
Loved prep.
You looked good. You were in good nick. You were lean. I was peeled.
That's why I thought I was going to win. Yeah. But almost, I prepped myself as well when I was, 19, 20.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just get peeled.
Yeah.
And I did. Lost quite a lot of muscle mass, but I don't know if you remember in like peak week, I like got that mad edema.
Yeah, because you had loads of sushi.
I had that sushi, and I think I had an allergic reaction to like shellfish.
Yeah. I've seen your story, and you're like,
oh, God. That's out here, like moon face you haven't seen. So I pulled off like a 14 pounds of fluid during peak week, which was never ideal. Couldn't fill back up. Yeah. I thought I had, but I hadn't filled back up. Looking at the stage photos now, like, people beat me that were literally fat. Like fat.
But it's because you weren't men's physique.
But I wasn't men's physique. And then I went and started growing and spent ages. And I was going to compete as a final year as a junior.
Yeah.
But I don't mind admitting that I always had a fear of dieting back down again to stage lean. Because you know what I'm like? I love to win. And I hate not being good at something.
Yeah.
And so coming fourth just ruined me to the point of like, I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every time that I would start to die, it'd be like, I'm not good enough to win.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to actually go that far to do it again. Yeah. So then I'd start pushing back up again.
I feel like that was what we've seen. Like, it was a lot of yo-yos. It was a lot of always. Like, I'm going to do this. And then it was like, I'm going to do a photo shoot. Then it was, I'm into a growth phase. And like, the problem is, you know, especially with coaching, you just have to stick to something. Especially
I'm bad for that, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But it's also, I'm bad from because I'm realistic.
Mm.
Not because like I think it's great to yo-yo up and down and my goals change. My goals have never really changed. It's apart from when I went functional.
Yeah, it's just
realism. It's more so that I just know I'm not. I ain't got delusion.
Yeah.
And I'm like that with my clients. And I'm like that with myself. I know I'm not a great bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So when I do, I will one day step on stage again. I just have to kind of.
Don't you think
that wire myself up that it'll be that.
Yeah. Show you that.
Why is he still turning to the
mirror? Excuse me, competitor. Don't have your number. Just stand there. Quarter turn.
Because I'm in the same boat. Like, I know that I'm not an incredible bodybuilder, and like, I'm not genetically ever gonna be.
Yeah.
But I also think when you think like that, you're just worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as you start thinking like that and sort of thinking that, oh, I'll never be, you're already lost. Like, I'll find myself falling into that from time to time. And like, usually when I think like that, that's when I start to be like, my training doesn't feel as good, or like a lot of the time
it can create really bad negative cycles, and it's hard to break. But when I do compete again, it will be, you know, a win for me will be the best that I can look and the best that I can place, as much as that annoys me to say. But like,
don't know who you're going to be against.
Yeah.
No.
Some absolute freaks, mate. You're not a freak. Like,
no,
like,
no, I cannot, far from like, it.
So it doesn't matter if you don't, if you get beat by someone who is a bit of a freak.
Yeah.
If you're peel and look fucking mint.
It's an objective placing.
Like, yeah, I know it's an objective placing, but I know I'm also not a great bodybuilder, so I wouldn't be saying that. But like, my thought process has changed. It's just, I think from coming from such a sporting background, from being good at everything and from winning, it's very difficult to then go into a sport where
you're not that
it's
good.
So genetic based and you have no
especially when
outcome,
if you're nailing everything. But someone who's not nailing everything, who's just a freak, beats you, and it's like, fuck, that's very frustrating.
But I think coaching, being a coach and being a prep coach now, I think that massively helps with the fact that you can do everything in your power, but you can't make someone win. Like, that's up to other people now.
Yeah. And you have I remember the first probably few clients that I got on stage, like, I'd be so stressed and thinking about, like,
if they don't win.
Yeah, like, but not even, just thinking, like, what have I done wrong? It's like, you can do everything possible. You can be the best coach in the world. Doesn't matter.
Are they going to be pissed off with me? Is it my fault because they've not got the placing that they want when three better people have turned up on the day?
If they're the best that they were, that they could have been, like, what else can you do?
Yeah.
And more often than not, people are happy with that.
Yeah, definitely.
When it's you, it's hard to think that.
Yeah, because
you're like, especially, I know you said like you love prep, but like the back end, when you're, let's say, feeling like shit, if you're doing everything, if you're having it in your head, well, at least I'm probably going to win, or I'm going to do really well. Yeah. In the back of your head, if you're thinking, if five people turn up, they're way better than me, I'm fucked. It's hard.
Yeah, but you can't think that.
You can't think that, but without even realizing, subconsciously, you probably would think it.
It's like when I, you know, when I went to the, there was a BMBF qualifier that I had clients in, and the medium class was like ridiculous. Mm. Like literally, I wouldn't have placed top five. Yeah. Like it was like, what the fuck? Like, really, really good.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, last year, I remember saying to Shannon, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to do it. Like, there's no chance I'd place in that. Mm. And like, Shannon was, to be fair, she was like, I think you could. She was like, condition-wise, you'd probably have been in the top like four, maybe five. But like size-wise, the guys that were there like were ridiculous. But then there's other shows where I turned up and like I still thought at most shows that I was shit.
Yeah.
And I still came second or third or whatever. Like, I came in the top three in every class. Yeah. But in your own head, you're worse than you think.
Unless you're Tim before your first show,
the thing is, you can't see yourself up against other people.
No, you don't.
And being young and not being well muscled as well, all I could see is like people that were out of shape, and it wasn't even soft. Like some were like out of shape.
PCA shows prior to like
Conway.
Shows prior to like 2020. Oh, you see some photos that are rough. Standard was awful.
But you see the odd person now, and you think like with modern day social media, you know, you've probably got a coach, you know what you're stepping into, you've seen people on stage online.
How have you been?
What the fuck are you expecting? People
are deluded. I always relate it when I say it with clients. I relate it to, you know, when you're like on X Factor, when people turn up and they legitimately think they're good, and their family tell them they're amazing, and they're horrendous.
And you hear them screaming in the crowd. You hear them livid that they've not...
Yeah, that they've not gone through. Yeah,
it's like that Natty Olympia. You see some of them going absolutely bonkers over someone on the stage. Yeah.
How can you go mental? You've got one arm, mate.
You're in the wrong class.
But no, it is true. There's people who just don't have the right support group around them. Like, if... For example, like with me and you, like if there's a certain body part that's shit, we'll just literally be like, that looks shit.
Every single week.
Or that pose looks shit. Or your back's fat.
What that client do as well?
I'd say to you every single week. Every time you pose,
it's literally like, you look all right, you look really good, your back's fat. And it would get to the point where, mate, I'd about cry, but I was like, well, I should get leaner. And I'd have
the front's been in for 8 weeks, back's still so sore.
What would it do if I was to go, oh yeah, your back looks great as well, mate? Like,
we go to Rotherham and we stop training there when I was prepping every time. So every time I prep, we stop going to Rotherham because I just get the same comments and it's like, you don't need to be told.
Everyone in Rotherham, like, going like, oh, you look great, you're going to win a pro card,
you're going to do this. Just, and it's just like, just, no, I don't fucking need to.
Just filling you up with
Like, I don't need to know. And also, my back's still fat. Finn's told me for the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, but you want that.
Yeah, they don't.
You want someone to be honest
with
you. No, you need that.
Someone's giving him compliments and I'm just like, his back's really fat.
You see his back. Turn around. But you need that level of, like, I think some people respond well, some people maybe don't, but I think you need that, like, straightness. And that's why coaching is actually key, because if you blow smoke to a client and you're telling them you're going to be undeniable, you're going to win.
You need both.
You know, there should be that fine balance.
You need to understand the client. Some you can literally just say, you don't look great at the minute, or you're flat, or this
and
some
that.
Some you need to say a roundabout way. You need to compliment them, but then say, but we need that. It's like, you've got to understand what gets someone going, haven't you?
I think the more often you give compliments, the more they just become like irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like if I was to say to a client, oh mate, you look amazing every single week, they're just like, oh, sound. They're just saying the same thing.
It means way more when you say it legitimately. That's the first one.
Fucking hell, mate, this is actually really good. Like, I've actually not seen you look like this. They're like, oh shit.
Finlay Roberts, I don't think I complimented him. I still don't think I have. But when he won the overall, I literally was saying to him, you're going to get beaten the overall by Matt, because he's in better condition than you.
Who was he up against?
Matt LeMay, do you know the men's league guy? Matt LeMay?
You'd recognise him.
You'd know him. He's coached by Zach now. He's and then he was against Ethan Metcalf, my old client.
I'd match you in the class.
Oh, yeah. So when Finlay won that, And like literally beforehand, I looked at him like, look around me, but you're a bit soft for where I'd want you to be, because he fucked up a bit.
Over it.
Yeah, he over it. He had a 500 carb refeed, no, not refeed, just fill up and gained like 8 pounds. And yeah, I was like, okay, yeah. Like,
that's not 500 carb.
Yeah, that's not 500 carb, or something's gone wrong here, but we sorted it
full
out.
Full as a house, though.
Yeah, full as a house, of course. And luckily, just about got enough water off to the point he just could bullshit a front show, a front post. But like, through the whole prep, I don't think I complimented him once, really. I was just like, yeah, you look all right. And then for like Josh Jenkins, mate, 3 days out from the first time the show, looked so bad.
He was
over dieted to the point where I think it was just more so communication and how he's dealing with things, how his training was shit.
Was he doing more than you were telling him to do?
I don't think he was doing more, but it was more so like, you know when someone's mentioned food and refeeds for like every
you
don't want to give him it. And it's like your training's actually just shit because you're just being a bit shit in the gym. And then also they're not peeled at, like, let's say for example you've got 10 pounds to pull off and you're like, okay, we can get this done, so you pull 5 pounds off and it's like you're not looking any leaner.
Yeah. I feel
so
like
then you
Josh,
almost get to a,
just like he was like
he looked really good,
he needed to be leaner, needed to be leaner, needed to be leaner, needed to be leaner.
Last show or third
show, the last show, but pulled it round but it was like he was like we pulled off like 20 pounds and he looked worse than he did 20 pounds up. And it was with Josh, like he was 3 days out, he was 3 days out, 4 days out, and I was around in Cardiff like a day before crashing my car, and he was like, how do I look? And I was like, Sam was videoing me, I was like, yeah, you look good, man, you look good. And I like gave him his food.
You put a story on.
And, it was
and
like,
I was like, fucking hell.
It was like,
was that when you,
awful.
The story when he went and saw it?
Yeah.
I remember that.
I remember,
I was like, oh,
it was like,
mate.
I think I gave him like 6,000 calories that day. And I was like, where do you reckon you could have more food? And he was like, I reckon I could have more. And I was like, okay, do that. A bit more there. And I was like, yeah, just do a bit more here. And then I was like, yeah, have a good day. See you later. And I, like, the second he walked out the door, I was like, luckily he looked sound for the first time. I show he got second in a good lineup. The guy that won, he wouldn't have won even if Josh was 100%. He was a classic PCA, tiny waist, good shoulders, really skinny, like dry abs. He looked really good. But like, there's times in a place where, like with Josh, if I said to him, "You look shit," he would have
head
that
loss.
Would have head loss.
Yeah,
he
there was no point there.
Yeah,
he's not gonna
no,
pull out.
No,
there's no point. There,
no. So, but Finley, I could say to him 3 or 4 days out, "You look naff. Why
are
you fat?"
And
he'd probably still cheat us.
Brown is sorry.
I do like you, Finley. I do like that. He'd probably be like, okay, cool. I actually need to stick to plan. And everyone's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Especially when it comes to you getting more clients on stage. Like, I remember, so Joe Gillen. So he was one of your first people that did quite well. Like,
Jay
especially
Freaky,
in condition. Jay Freaky 1.
Jay Freaky.
Joe who?
Jay
Freaky.
Jay Freaky. Yeah,
Jay Freaky. Jay Freaky 1.
When he did the show against Matt and your other client won. You know,
he was growling at us
and he was growling at his back,
growling with the road.
He's gonna squirt you.
He's gonna fight.
He was fuming.
Yeah. And like, I feel like that probably, even though, let's say, objectively, that was a pretty naff experience from a coach to be like, fucking hell, what the hell?
Yeah.
But that probably helped you when it came to right. But probably need to maybe preparation. Maybe like, some people are just a bit different when they don't win. He was obviously going in. He was in the best condition.
It was just
he looked
posing. That's all.
But also,
and just he wasn't men's physique, was he?
No, but
I think
he was posed,
and he was probably like 50 pounds.
If he could have posed, mate, if he could have posed, he'd have won that by a mile.
Yeah, it was his pose, and it was just like the raw aggression on stage. It was just like
front shot. Hit
remember
like
doing his press ups backstage? I mean, it's still the same, but it works fine for bodybuilding. Like, and even so, we still calm him down because like I don't want him to have an aneurysm on stage when he's just doing that. He'll send me that shot with all his veins like 14
Please
times a week,
careful.
And I'm like, it's the same as 2 weeks ago. Stop doing it.
And
you will
like,
like you're gonna
caption,
yeah.
like new levels
pass out challenge. He's like
new levels are locked. He just said it through like, bro, you look, you've got the same veins. You haven't just magically like acquired 20 new capillaries across your chest. Look at
him. But it, obviously he did well this year. He's just got that ability to just get skinned.
Jay
just
Freaky.
A freak.
Yeah.
Jay Freaky one.
Yeah.
He is good, to be fair. Like he
just needs
good.
More muscle.
Yeah, he does.
That's all he needs. And that was obviously with Lil. He got moved up to the middleweights. There was an issue with the weighing because he was lightweights in Two Bros UK.
Yeah.
He got moved up to the middleweights and they just had like 10 kilo more muscle.
Yeah, he's like right at the bottom end of it.
And it's when he's not, although he makes them look fat, they're not soft enough for his condition to then win.
No.
And there's 10 kilo of muscle.
You can
difference.
Be as peeled as you want if you've not got the shape or the muscle, and his shape is good, but it's not incredible because he needs to be bigger. I think
bigger.
Like you
yeah,
put on
his,
5-10
his
kilos,
limbs,
tissue,
his limbs
Jesus.
Look long. Like he
yeah,
always,
yeah,
like
yeah.
In a front lat spread, it's a good
and
pose.
His posing,
when you break it down,
yeah, but his posing still needs to be better.
Oh yeah,
like, I think his posing could be a lot better because he's got everything in terms of, like, he has got a good amount of muscle and he's peeled, but I do think some of his poses, I'm like, he just somewhat missing, like,
yeah, it might just be a muscle perspective, it is tissue as well.
But also just I think he poses too hard, which, like I say, in bodybuilding for some poses is great, but a lot of poses you pose too hard, you just make yourself look smaller. I think he needs to, like, actually relax a bit when he's posing, which I know is hard because he's, like, very amped up.
He did
look very good whenever I've seen him this year.
Yeah.
He did well at PC finals.
Yeah, he looked good then. Yeah,
because he'd lost to Conor Lawn.
Yeah, he beat him, didn't he?
And then he ended up beating him. But that was.
Was Conor on at that? Did he look? No, I don't think
he'd done two bros the day prior.
Okay. Yeah.
He was just watery. He was just soft.
Yeah.
I don't know what he looked like at the two bros.
Yeah.
He wasn't on whatsoever.
Mate, he was inside out. Inside out one day before.
Yeah, 24 hours. Just done a Finley.
Yeah. Had 500 carbs.
That's what we call it. Really,
he had 450.
Yeah, it was only 450 carbs.
But, yeah, it was a good season for Jay Freaky. It's just, he's got every foundation to go to the top. It's just now, it's just muscle now.
Yeah, just taking time. Let's delve back into you when you had your head loss and you turn into a CrossFit athlete.
So that was the year I was going to prep. That was my final year as a junior. 2022. Yeah. So I'd still been 23.
Yeah.
So I was going to go do juniors. And then...
Were you going to do bodybuilding?
No, classic. Physique.
Physique?
Still going to do physique, yeah.
And that's mental.
I know, but my legs are
just long.
Weak and long. Yeah. They're not weak, they're just so long.
Yeah, and even
my quads are so hip dominant. So they're great up top, but you put, even in shorts, it still looks like, because my calves are so small, it still looks like I've got no legs. Yeah. And you pull my shorts up, they look great.
Yeah.
But they're just like, they're just too weak being this tall and not being that blessed with them. And also, like, I've not been able to train legs so well for years now with my knees. So they've just been weak. And I know, like, from last prep and when I've dieted, as soon as I go into a deficit, they do disappear. So I thought I'd do physique. And then, you know, business and stuff was fine then. And I wasn't at a low point in I wasn't depressed, but I was at a low point for me. And I blamed bodybuilding as the reason.
Mm.
And I had a lot of external input on that from... Because I have a lot of friends that are outside bodybuilding.
Yeah. So they probably see the levels you go to and they're like, oh, what are you doing?
It must
now?
Be that. That's why you feel like you feel.
Right.
Yeah.
And because I was already very impressionable because I was at a low point.
Yeah. What are your family like in regards to... I feel like I remember you saying they were never that, like, into it.
Mum and dad don't like bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Mum and dad loved it when I was hybrid.
PDs.
Mum and dad still think I'm natty.
Yeah, it's true that his mum thinks I'm natty.
They don't. They found things that I've found out about now. They found needles and shit.
Yeah.
And
they just thought it was heroin.
And they just assumed I was a junkie.
Do you remember when you said you went to get your needles from?
I remember this prep. Story. Yeah.
Selly Oak in Birmingham went in to the pharmacy because I used to pin with blues back then.
Lovely.
In my delt as well. How I don't know. And he was like, "So what's it for?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "Can I have some needles?" And he's filling in the form, and there's a checkbox. Obviously, you won't know this.
Yeah, I will, mate. Don't tell him.
The first one's like, "Heroin, seems just ticket." And I'm like, "No. I promise, I'm on gear.
Steroids.
I am assisted." Still thought I was going to win the show.
Let's not make that real.
Not like a heroin addict, but I'm going to take it.
So mum and dad, they don't, they came to my show, they'll support anything I do.
Yeah.
They'll just, like, mum will call me a prick and say, like, what do you want to do that for? You look like such a prick.
Yeah.
Like,
you look awful.
You look so much like a prick and you came forth.
And like heroin addict.
And you look like a heroin addict. But, like, all my friends outside of bodybuilding, some of them are supportive and get it, but a lot of them, like, especially the ones that go out loads, they were just like, oh, it's obviously bodybuilding. And then when I stepped away a little bit, it was like, oh my God, you know, you seem so much happier. You, like, you look the best you've ever looked. Like,
you're staying up till 2 a.m. playing Warzone games with us now. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love this must be good for you.
Yeah, we love this version of you, Tim. Keep that, Tim.
And I think that just escalated. And I'll be honest, because of genetically, it suited me so well. Because I was a long distance runner, obviously football, I can drop body fat immediately. And my body just, like, I thrived at it straight away. I was really good. I got fit like that. And then that just got worse and worse and worse. Business literally tenthed.
Yeah. What, just because it was like, you're not bodybuilding anymore?
You've even got to think, as a lifestyle coach, and I've even spoke to like Ben Bray and stuff about this when he went as well, it even affected him. It's like, if a 17-year-old comes and wants to build muscle for Ibiza,
yeah,
how do they train? Like a bodybuilder. So what the fuck am I doing as a functional athlete?
Yeah.
It's got no like relevance to anything unless you want to be a functional athlete.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not at the stage of knowledge, although I immerse myself, I'm not at the stage of knowledge where I can program someone to go do a high rocks, yeah, you know, yeah, to the best of someone's capability. So it kind of left me no man's land. And then what got me back into it mainly was I just missed training. I'd go in the gym and I'd see people leg pressing and see people like pressing heavy loads, and I'll just be like, oh, I fucking missed that.
Yeah.
And I remember going and doing my first session back at a tiny little gym near me, and I was like a kid in a candy shop, and I was just like, it's like I'd been to the gym for the first time again. I was buzzing.
Mm.
And so then I just chucked the gear back in and went for it again. I was like,
it does make
9, 10 months
though,
TRT.
When you have some time away from it. Like,
it's like it was a blessing and a curse in terms of like, it did make me realise that this isn't, funnily enough, the thing I've been doing since I was 16 is not the issue. Like, yeah, I do love it. But I dropped like 60. I went from like 250 to 185 with minimal muscle. Like, I resorted back to my
185.
What were you eating?
What were you eating? Nothing.
At first, I was eating minimal because
did your appetite drop?
My appetite. Yeah. Well, I was already pushing food.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I was buzzing. I was like, I'll eat nothing.
I feel like you've always struggled though pushing up, haven't you? Like, I feel like every time you've been above like a certain weight, you've been like, fucking, I feel heavy.
I'll be honest. Every time I've got past like 240, whether that's in my own head, I'm always like, I just look the fucking same. However, last time I dieted, when I started with Joe, and we did like a 4-week diet, I did look very different, and I was a lot heavier than I had done in the past, which was great.
Yeah.
But I'd always get to a point and it would just be like body fat's coming on, not tissue. It's almost like my body's like, it just doesn't
you
want
to
be any bigger
not
than
productive,
this.
Yeah.
I'm so fucked at a certain body weight where someone's chilling. You're chilling at 270 and yeah, I'm feeling worse at 230.
Yeah.
And it's just like my structure, everything is, it just doesn't want to get bigger. But this time it's been a lot easier and a lot better. And there's not really any different bar the training slightly different. So my appetite was, I was already slamming food for so long. So that was like amazing. That's probably the biggest joy of pulling away straight away is like, you know what it's like to go to bed so full and think, tomorrow I've got to do that all over again from meal one. Like, it's not great.
You wake up full from not even the day before, but like 3 days.
Exactly. Like, you can go 5 days without eating. You've got that much like in your system.
Yeah.
So I slashed food and then I worked my way back up to like 3,300 probably. I was maintaining that. Yeah. But I'd go out on the weekend. I was going out a lot. And
it's good for you that.
That wasn't helping.
That was the main thing. That was the best thing for you, mate.
So yeah, and then I just got back into it and I don't know. I don't really know why anyone came back to me, to be fair. But certain people did. And then my first client on stage last year again, it was Harry Crabb. It was Christian. And Harry did really well as a team.
Yeah.
But it was annoying that, because him versus Josh would have been great all year.
Yeah.
But he turned 20 2 days before the world, so he went and did Worlds as a junior.
He is very good. Like, he's looked fucking massive now as well.
Oh, yeah.
But Josh's shape, just ridiculous.
Yeah, Josh's shape. Harry was bigger.
He'd be bigger than him and probably leaner than him.
He was leaner than him, but Josh's shape's lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Josh's front light, his side try.
Josh's shape carried him, like, obviously he looked great. He got a good amount of muscle and he was very, very lean, but his shape is what won him shows. Yeah. His posing is what won him shows.
Yeah,
like, his posing was really good.
Yeah, his posing was good. His shape was lovely.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it just, throughout the season, it just escalated and escalated and ended up pretty successful.
Yeah,
speaking about that, then, so let's have your highlight reel of clients. So the ones you went to the natural, was it Natural Olympia with? You
Jack had, and Jack, Natalie and Kingsley Clough.
Yeah, speak about them. You picked up Kingsley Clough.
I picked up Kingsley Clough
quite late,
6 days out of his British final. I'd met
was
him at that
himself?
BNBF.
Yeah. No, you could have. I met him at BNBF.
Yeah.
You know, when
when everybody looked shit because of the lighting
shit,
and it was just, that was the final.
Please let me coach you.
No, I didn't. I just took a photo with David. Okay. And he was asking for a coach. I think David recommended me, and he'd seen my work and yeah. saw that I was
David
at the show.
Was peeled.
And yeah. David was like so soft. And then David joined quite late, and then he was peeled. So I was actually in Mykonos, and Jack messaged me 6 days out. So I just left the restaurant and set him up there and then. great boyfriend. And that was basically just rid fatigue straight away, because he just ran himself into a hole.
Yeah.
And he'd also, his head had gone because he lost BNBF, which wasn't a great look for him. He still should have won the BNBF finals.
Corey won. Corey's good though. Like, it's not like he got beat and he shouldn't have
It wasn't.
Like,
no, it wasn't like a robbery. Corey was good on that day. I do think, like, there's no one more classic than
Jack. He should
and
have
And in person, it's yeah. even crazier. Because he can good. Stand there looking normal, and he just hits the front lat, and it's like, where has all that muscle come from? Yeah. Where's that? Like, yeah. it just comes alive. But yeah, Jack Hattersley and Kingsley Goff in the Natural Olympia, which Jack obviously, Hattersley cleaned up all year, and he didn't lose it.
Did you expect the success from Hattersley?
Yeah.
Really?
We spoke
about this. I will voice what our opinion is. So obviously we've never seen him in person, like before he was on stage. I saw him once or twice on stage. His back's ridiculous. His back shots are fucking stupid. But like when I saw him prior, if you had said to me, and I've had people come up to me and say this, like people have competed against him, like the FitX, one of the, I think, Chris Coles. Do you know Chris Coles?
Sound
guy.
He beat Chris.
And like Chris was, he wasn't salty. He was like, he looks fucking wicked. He looks fantastic. But if you had shown me, let's say if you had said, this guy had won this, done this, never been beat, won four overalls? Is that?
Six
overalls. That's crazy.
Assisted and natty.
And then you showed me a photo of him. His physique, because I think when it comes to criteria, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to his general physique, if you were to look at him criteria wise for what the judges look for, I can understand. But if he was to walk in a gym and hit a few poses, I don't think you'd look at him and go,
"Oh my god!"
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he is.
I've not known Jack, but I remember. So when I was young, you know Metro Gym and Hall, heard of it?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So when I was really young, at 16, 17, 18, 17, 18, 19, I lived just over the side of the Humber Bridge. This has no relevance to you, I'm guessing. But our Saturday day trip would be to go to Metro Gym.
Okay.
So that would be like four of us would go off our nuts on some pre and would go to Metro Gym. It's this old school, sick gym. It's shit now, but it used to be sick.
Yeah.
Jack used to be there maybe 13, 14.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Jack was, but he was just a boxer.
Yeah.
And he looked ridiculous at 13, 14.
Okay.
So looking at him in the gym, and especially now, he's like 45 pounds up, and he'd leaner than most PCA men's physique still. He'd win any show.
Yeah.
But I agree in terms of photos, because
I don't mean
peaking Jack
way.
Would throw like, my head every time until I saw him in person, because he looked great, but nothing like he does in a photo compared to in real life. So even peeking, I'd be like, he's just not full. Why is he not full? We've done the same. I'd go see him and I'd be like, again, why am I even remotely worried? Because he looks like this.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Yeah, I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he looks fucking awesome. I think
he is good.
I just think like criteria wise, he's like pretty much perfect. But I think physique wise, I wouldn't, like, again, these are not even my words. We spoke about it.
When
it's
he was
really
against,
cool
like,
to
when
see.
He was against Leo.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Leo looked really good. Leo
was good.
Yeah.
Leo was good. Which was surprising. I didn't think he looked that good.
I thought like a week or two out, Leo was.
I knew
like,
he'd look Jackson good because he's got a great shape, but I didn't think he'd be that close.
I don't think it was close.
I think it was close. I think a lot of people. I think Connor. So that was his Connor Flanagan, you know, my guy.
Yeah.
The FitX. I think from
Connor's
the front,
got lovely shape.
Connor's got
and
lovely shape, but from
great.
The rear, it was lights out for Jack. From the front, I was like, this is really close, and it turned to the rear. I was like, oh yeah, Jack's on. Like,
I agree with that. Connor was the closest to him, I'd say.
Yeah.
Across
it would have been good to have seen them at PCA finals against each other, because Connor was like 100% there, and that's when he got second to the guy who was like assisted, was just a bit, he was basically Connor just with rounded
out. I think Jack would have won PCA finals.
I think Jack would have, but I think it would have been
Connor
good to have
really,
seen
really
both
well.
Of them.
Did I see it, or was it the day before? I remember seeing it, and because there was Finlay and stuff, and I thought if Finlay's on, he's got so much muscle, he'll do well.
Yeah.
But Connor did really well that day.
Yeah.
But I think that was the week before. We'd done Yorkshire UKDFA finals, and then it was the week after, and then we had Romania, so we pulled out of PCA finals.
Yeah.
But in terms of, he was with a previous coach, and he was it was awful.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's a twat.
Right, okay, anyway, so carry on. He had a bad experience with a coach.
Yeah, but I just thought it's his waist at the start. Like, if this comes in, then he had so much muscle.
Yeah.
And he just held it all. And I know what you mean, but I think he's just so men's physique.
He is quite blocky. Like,
it's just his lats. Because
he's got good abs.
It's just weird, because I think, like, I look at him and think, like, oh, he looks amazing, looks fantastic. But, like, I just don't look at him and think, like, for example, if you were to look at the epitome of men's physique, I don't think that's him.
No.
But I also agree why he's winning so many shows. Yeah. And, like, if you're watching this, mate, I think you look fucking awesome. I do not mean this in a slight.
Oh, no.
It's more so impressive because criteria-wise, he's so strong.
I think he looks better when he's up against other people on stage as well. I think he looks better on stage.
Yeah, that's what
stage.
I mean.
Do you think
like,
he should have beat Josh Crogan in the overall? Because Josh was sat there and he was...
I've seen. No, yeah, I think he should have beat Josh Crogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it would have been good to see him later on as well.
Yeah.
However, you got to think that was Jack's, like, that was pretty deep in the season for Jack as well. I think he should have beat Josh. I think he's got better shape than Josh. He was leaner than Josh.
Yeah.
I think he was definitely leaner. He's got really good shape, but I almost like just
don't think he has amazing shape in other ways.
He just doesn't look that, to me, like, when I see a men's physique guy, like, they're almost a little bit more, like, there's more. I don't know, like, flow the word? Like,
yeah, Jack will even admit himself that the worst thing that lets Jack down is not his posing in shots, maybe, but his stage presence and flow.
I think that's what I sort of
definitely
feel
lets
like
him down.
Yeah.
And he struggles with that. Jack's no dancer, and we always said from day one, you're going to have to drill posing.
Work,
I think it's difficult because he did that many feds, and men's physique posing so different among every fed that it makes it difficult. But I think his stage presence and flow lets him down.
Yeah, but it's still not to the extent where it was like
detrimental. If he improved that, I think if he come out like a Tom Stockton, like literally dances on stage, I think you'd be like, Jesus Christ, like, what hasn't
Cam Wales?
What
hasn't? Yeah, like Cam Wales, but it'd be, oh, that'd be a good battle.
Not quite as soft, but I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing that lets him down, which will improve going forward. But I think, you know, doing two rows in the future now, that's a lot easier to do
front
and back.
I think that's shit though.
Do you?
Well, it's two poses. You diet for that long and you choose and you come third.
I know, but then like you're doing so many bodybuilding shots among other feds.
In a novice class.
I won a stat class.
I thought you came to the PCA.
Huh?
Where did you come in PCA?
Yeah, he lost that as well.
He lost that.
Yeah.
He was quite small. Yeah. He beat you in as well.
He was a natty. Love Island contestant.
He was good though. Like
he was a natty. His posing.
The thing
was
is,
so
that,
right.
I think that was almost like me. Like, why the fuck were you doing men's physique? You're so big.
Yeah, it did look odd. You looked like you couldn't walk in the shorts.
And it's like this. It was when you turned to the side and like, no, just like your waist is like, it's not a men's physique waist anymore.
It was when I was a junior. So I thought,
when you were a junior.
Yeah, but you get to a point and you just know, I just don't look like a men's physique.
Yeah.
I said to Finn 6 weeks out, I was like, don't think I'm men's physique anymore, really. And I was like, we'll see. I've signed up for the show.
You know the PCA like reel that they do. Fucking love reels. You know the reel that they do where you walk. You just looked so
bursting through the shots.
Yeah, you just didn't look right. Yeah. And like you even pulled them
down. I walked, and I literally they were like rolling like, and I was like,
it was like you'd miss your class.
Yeah,
like, you jumped in physique later on in the day.
Yeah. Crazy, but hey, how we live and we learn.
Yeah,
I look alright.
Was that only year? That was a year ago, wasn't it?
Maybe it was less than that. Yeah,
so now you prepped a year ago.
That feels like so long ago. It's weird. Like I was thinking because I had a year and like 3 months off from when I finished my first prep to my next one starting.
Yeah.
And it's already been like it's what Feb now, and I finished in like back end of May, so it's almost been a year already. And I'm like, I don't feel like I've been into an off season for that long, but I do because I'm like, oh, I've made a lot of progress. Like I don't think most people that I speak to now that wouldn't know me, they'd be like, oh, so. You know, you competed in bodybuilding before. I'm like, oh, not really. I did men's physique last time I competed, really. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, though, that you think when you have your check-ins with your clients and the week comes around and it's like, fucking hell, it's another week gone.
Another week.
And before you know it, they're like, they're 20 weeks into an off-season.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's that gone? I'm like 16 weeks post-show. And like, it doesn't feel
I think that's because us three all had such busy summers.
Yeah.
And no summer.
Oh,
like, every weekend we was at a show, right? Like, I was run down.
Yeah.
I was barely training. And I think you missed basically a full year of doing, like, did nothing. Even my holiday.
Hey, imagine that.
Clients on
prepping,
stage.
Like,
I was prepping for the first 5 months.
No one
and then the second, by the second that I finished prep, had literally, I finished prep, and then I had, I think, a client on stage 3 weeks after, and then literally I had like two holidays, but I had clients on every single weekend. So I was at a show like every single weekend, multiple days,
it's fantastic. I can't wait for this year. But that's what I was saying, like, especially for you, on top of it, I would wish away the week until the weekend because I love going to the shows and love the place I've been. So when you get someone back in a peak week, I'm counting down to the weekend. You'll be counting down for that and you're counting down to get back on stage.
Yeah.
The year goes like that. Yeah. And now I'm counting down until the first client's back on stage again, which was going to be Mac, and now it's not. So you're constantly like wishing away the time. You're not present within there and then.
I can't remember the last time I was present, like, apart from literally after the A1. That was it.
You're present then.
I was present. You're eating illusion.
Is that when you went to TV Malone Carter or something?
Nah, that was another time.
Was that another time? Yeah. Were you present then?
Nah. Back in my head.
He's eating his off-plan meal. He's still already thinking about his next one. Yeah. He's already thinking, what's my next off-plan meal?
Last night when I was at the cinema, I was thinking, oh, going for dessert after this.
Bro, Madam Web, as if you went.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It was all right. There was some okay bits. Have you watched it? Some of the lines were so cringy.
I will not watch a Sony Universe
bottom tier Spider-Man. There was some like lines, and it was like, it was. I was like sat there thinking, this has been wrote by a 12-year-old.
It was. I literally put on my story like it wasn't one where you go, do not watch it. But it wasn't one. Yeah, it wasn't one where I'd be like, oh, like definitely go. Yeah.
There must have been 5 or 10 scenes that I was like, how is that?
It got rewritten and reshot like 4 times.
Really?
Yeah. It's gone through multiple changes. Like Sony. Well, a tangent, but like Sony, that universe is just getting rewritten and rewritten because every film's coming out and doing awful.
Yeah.
So
what else is in that universe? Venom. What about Morbius? Madam Web, is that
Morbius? Craven the Hunter's coming out next.
That's like, what I thought.
They're trying to build a universe of B and C list Spider-Man characters. Yeah. Like Madam Web in the comics, you know who she is?
No.
She's like a 75-year-old blind. She's got arachnid powers and she guides Spider-Man. She's like a bit of a.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was like at the end.
So what was it like that at the
end? Well, it showed that she was like that. The main woman was like turning into that.
Yeah, so that's what it's like. And she appears in a few comics here and
there. Major.
So they've tried to make her literally an E-list character. Scraping
the bottom of the barrel.
Let's bring it back because you mentioned Macca. Yeah. I wanted to chat about Macca because obviously Macca's like a OG of the podcast. He's like listened to the podcast since we started pretty much. We do need to get him on. We said we'd get him on after he'd won his pro card, but we don't know what's going to happen now because he's had a seizure. So let us know what happened because obviously you're coaching him now. You know best as to what's happened with him.
What happened? He had a seizure. Did you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Did you not see the multiple reels and like the updates?
Multiple posts.
Like,
I've got to do some reels on that actually.
Yeah.
What, on his seizure?
Anything I can do a reel about, I'll do.
Sam, will you make us loads of reels from this? Like, loads, mate. As many as you can.
I just woke up Thursday and was told that he'd basically collapse. Then we later found it was a seizure. He's had multiple in the past. When he was 18 and 19, I think he's had 3, so this is his 4th one. And then he was in hospital all day, but like he's just, when you're like, my cousin's like really severely epileptic, I think it's like called tonic epilepsy or something. She'll have them all the time.
Yeah.
But after your seizure, like apparently it's agony, because obviously every muscle's spasming for that long, the amount of energy you're expending, what it's doing.
Okay.
So I think you're just absolutely written off. Or he also fell, his back's foot from that.
Where did it happen?
In the gym on it, yeah.
Oh, grafters him, grit, he's called now, right in the gym. He didn't land on anything, he was between kit, he was just walking about, and then he just kind of did a spin and fell on the floor and was
fit. Like a physique spin.
Yeah, he did front to back transition.
McGeady spin.
McGeady spin.
Flicks up and then to the right.
I love McGeady, bro.
Yeah, I was buzzing when they put the McGeady spin in FIFA back in the day. I couldn't believe it.
Mate, originally McGeady couldn't do it.
You know, the actual spin.
He was 4-star skills and it was a 5-star skill move.
What? Oh, in the game he couldn't do it.
So the following game they updated his skill moves because people were like, it's called the McGeady spin in the game. McGeady can't do it. Yeah, honestly, like FIFA 12 or something. Yeah.
We learn loads on there once we do the podcast. Yeah, you see
So it's obviously prep's been pulled. He was 6.5 weeks out. And we're just kind of seeing like what's next, what we can do at the back end of the year potentially.
So you think it's stress related from?
Well, his last two seizures were, two of his last seizures were from exam stress when he was in upper sixth, I believe, like A level stress. Yeah. So realistically, he's probably stress induced. Now, he's got prep was not stressful whatsoever, but he's got kids, two businesses. I think he's trying to move and stuff like that. So there's so many like external stressors that are probably at the like subconscious in the back of your mind.
Probably at the front, like
But maybe you don't realise that you're taking on so much on your plate at once. Obviously had the seizure, so it's a case of right now we can't go, he's got to recover, he can't train, we're just kind of introducing steps again, he's back on diet, so it's either, you know, either pull it completely or continue a little bit of a diet rebound and then come in for the final shows of the year, which if we did do that, there's pro qual wise, there's obviously the British finals, there's then like Finland and stuff like that, which are pretty easy shows to go to
that. What was the show right at the back end of the season? Where,
it's
like,
Finland.
Is it Finland? It's Finland. Yeah, like last show, and it's like
they've got like 23 people on stage across all categories.
Yeah,
like 21 and they of give them out, pro yeah, cards. Yeah, I'm going for it.
Yeah, give out four pro cards, and it's like right, a third of you or a fourth of you are gonna get a pro card.
No. It's Finland. I think there might be Iceland or another one that's really similar as well up that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one that
it does diminish it though, doesn't it? It's like it does if you win a pro card at one of those shows, not only does it diminish it, but you're also probably bottom tier when you then get into the pro league, and it's like your career's over.
Yeah,
probably. It's like, do you really want to do that? I'm not saying that about Mac. I'm saying about anybody who like
especially if you we weren't shooting for them originally. Obviously, we had the first regional, Sweden, we had the Ben Weeder, we had Sweden. There was an amateur in Portugal. There was Poland. Like there was good ones coming up. But if you're going to the back end of the year, I think you're quite limited. And if you are just shooting for the ones where it's let's pick the easiest date, let's try and get it, there'll be no one there, it does diminish it.
Yeah,
and then they, as you said, step up with the pros, and it's difficult to do well.
That wasn't handled that well, mate. No. Your one chance on the you're not coming back.
No wonder I've not been on in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So every now and again, we have a 30-minute limit on the camera. We will upgrade the studio soon, guys. Also, apologies for the audio on the Josh Crogan podcast. Did you see someone commented like, please sort it out. I really wanted to listen to this one. I can't
audio
hack
sucks.
It.
Audio not sucks. Tuning in again.
Yeah, I hate this podcast. I hate you.
Unsubscribed.
Hate you, Finn.
Hate that Finn.
You've ruined my life.
Whoever the Finn guy is, I hate.
Whoever the Finn guy is, I invented it. Yeah.
Said no one ever.
How's that, mate? Right, so what have we got? What else have we wanted to discuss?
Who you got on stage this year? We kind of wrapped through clients you got on stage last year. Anyone else that was a notable?
That did well.
Yeah, like anyone else?
Who did well?
David did well. Yeah. David was good.
Jack and Jack did the best. And Joe as well, went through Joe.
Who's that?
And then it was Jay Freaky One.
Jay Freaky, yeah, we don't know Joe. Yeah.
Apart from that, it was just obviously average.
And who have you got this year? You don't need to name everyone, mate.
I've got like 30
on
stage. I don't know. Again, who have I got? There's obviously Macca. I've got some good. JB's good.
Yeah.
Natty Men's Physique lad.
Yeah. He's very good.
Like, if he was in, he'd have won the British finals, in my opinion.
Yeah.
His shape's lovely. Yeah, he's really put on a lot of size quickly. So, but we're going for the Worlds with him. So the NBW Classic.
Okay.
As opposed to the UK, as opposed to the British finals.
Do the earlier shows.
I don't know really off the top of my head.
Don't worry, mate. It's hard, isn't it, when you put on the spot. I hate it when we have those like questions people, about clients and I'm like, fuck.
You also don't want to leave people out
either.
Like,
you feel bad
am I
if
not
you forget,
good enough?
You forget someone. So yeah, don't worry, we don't have to answer.
But it's a busy. It's like, they have 13, 14 on stage last year, and so far I've got about 30. So it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
And you know, you pick people up along the way as well, majority of the time.
Yeah.
So it's busy, which is great.
How's it going? Obviously, working with Christian, I wanted to sort of ask about that and see because it's how long has it been now that you've been working with him?
10 months, 9 months.
Is it?
I think so.
I didn't realize it'd been that long. June. I thought it'd been about like six or something.
No, so I think I only had Harry on Christian's stage. I think the first show that I'd done with him, which hadn't been announced, was Jack winning the overall at the FitX.
Yeah.
Down in Bristol. So
how did it come about?
We weren't talking about it for long. It was kind of like that. Well, obviously, we've been pretty close mates for a while. And we then was like, let's do some content together, and we started doing some reels together, and we were training together quite
some reels.
A lot.
Oh,
reels.
Yeah.
Shock.
Yeah, reels, wow.
We love we do some reels.
Well, you said, can we do some content? And I said, yeah, reels.
Reels, yeah. It was a match made in heaven.
That's and he loves reels as well. And then he spoke to me about, and I kind of knew what he was going to hint to me. We were saying, how could we work together without doing it? And I didn't want to go on as just a co-coach that is, you know, looked at as just a co-coach. I wanted to, like, I don't want to be lifestyle, really. I want to just be a prep coach. I want to work alongside you, make it more of a team than just a, someone's co-coach. Or you, and then we spoke, and then he said, what do you think about getting Tom on as well? So yeah, and then we went from there. It happened really quickly, to be fair. There wasn't a lot of like thought or
preparation
for it. It was just like,
that's
yeah,
the
let's
best
do
thing,
it. It makes sense, let's do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then since then it's
I think
done.
I said to you after one of the shows, I think it was the FitEx show that, you know, Jack and Connor
yeah,
each
yeah.
other. And I said, I was like, for most people, nine out of ten situations, that if you join another coach, I'd be like, probably not going to be too beneficial.
Yeah.
But I think with you, especially because your marketing probably isn't as good as it could be, and you're good at what you do.
It is now.
So,
I do reels.
Do reels? Yeah. Reels. Have you seen
I thought that's what you did.
No, yeah. So
that no, I agree. Marketing. My marketing's
yeah.
woeful.
Yeah, so like, I always, like, if I had, let's say a client come to me and say, hey, mate, like, or let's say an ex-client, I'm thinking about working with Tim. I wouldn't have said a bad word. I wouldn't have
yeah,
sounded
yeah,
really
yeah.
good. Like, I would be like, Tim, sound, crack on. Or if somebody just came up to me in the gym and was like, I'm thinking about signing up with
yeah.
Tim, I'd be like, yeah, cool, crack on, you'll do good. But when you don't have that sort of name for yourself,
you
like you did previously,
initially.
You need to get some clients in. And the one thing that Christian has is a name when
yeah.
it comes to
massively.
Like how he is. More so, not even a name, like a personality, a person. So you've got that sort of
it's,
like mantra of Christian. And then you've actually, I'm not saying you're a better coach than Christian. I think prep-wise, you are. But like it would be a case where you're adding more strings, not to like his bow, but to your bow based off his persona.
You've got a greater
and
pool
you,
yeah, to work
and
with
you
it.
As, a, as
yeah,
an actual coach. But like you can know everything, but if you're not, like, let's say
if you're not
yeah,
out there,
yeah,
no.
not
there's
there,
loads
club,
of
yeah.
amazing coaches out there whose
yeah.
content is horrendous.
Yeah.
They
don't
train
do reels, no reels.
Yeah, but it's true. Like if they don't even maybe train themselves, like you said yourself, when you stopped training for bodybuilding, that made your business take a massive hit. Like,
but you weren't any worse of a coach.
No,
yeah.
but it shows
that
we always say,
authority.
Yeah,
like,
but
no one,
leading like
no one wants
from
to
the
be
front.
Coached by someone who's not a bodybuilder.
Yeah. We say, don't we? Like, I think one of the main things for us is that the reason that we've probably done pretty well is that we're very consistent. We've
yeah.
put the same content out for
yeah.
5 years. We lead from the front in terms of how we are. People think we're over the top with things at times about training or nutrition. Like, people take the piss out of us for being in the gym for 3-4 hours or whatever.
Who would do that?
I don't know. That's Tim.
Yeah, Tim's in the gym 2 times a week.
But like we love it.
Yeah.
So
no,
yeah,
you
I mean,
love
and,
it,
like,
you love it.
And then other people, well, other people that do love that side of it,
yeah,
who
we'll,
just fucking love training.
Attract
yeah.
them.
Yeah, exactly.
Massively.
Yeah. Whereas like,
but
we
think,
probably
like,
don't attract the people who, again, we always
I think
say
I
we're
do
not
now because of results.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because I think you like you have got to forget like that. You don't have to be a good bodybuilder to be a good coach, or you don't have to live that certain way. 100. If I live 90-95%, but not 100%. Like, a client shouldn't not come to me because...
No.
But I agree that in the past, especially functional and other stuff, why would someone who's on it, not all day, every day, go to someone who's not remotely on it?
Yeah, they're
You've
not
You've
got to gonna,
walk the walk a little and have some
they're
authority.
They're not going to not listen, but they wouldn't... Again, like, if you were to say, oh, I want you doing this, this, and this, or I want you trying this new, different technique in the gym, or they'd be like, well, why, what have you
oh,
done?
Go on 1,300 calories, but I'm off on the piss at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, like, it's not going to work,
no.
is it?
Yeah.
And I think that was another thing that made me go back into it massively as well. But I'll say that I'm the happiest and best it's ever been in terms of enjoyment within the process.
Yeah.
And there's not really any difference. It's just that I've kind of almost accepted that it is what I love, and I'm not bothered about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Especially when you've got people around you who don't understand.
But that's
it,
probably
like.
The biggest thing that I've seen this year in terms of progress business-wise is that I've cut 90% of people out, and that I don't, as cliche as it is of keeping your circle small, especially when it's external people that don't understand, it's for even like going to a show every weekend. We don't have weekends free.
Yeah.
So if you want to meet up with friends, they work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday.
Yeah,
when are you going to see them?
Yeah.
Because I'm at a show that's for me probably 2-4 hours away, then got to drive back. I'm knackered the next day, and I've got another two people going into a peak week. You know how it just batters you and runs
yeah,
you down
you don't
as well.
Have time to be like socializing.
Time. You haven't got time to sit with your girlfriend a lot of time, or she's setting someone up, or you're doing something like, and then you got to prioritize her. That you're not just just because you live with someone or you see them a lot, that's not quality time at all.
Right, me and Shannon, like, we've lived together 5 years and we don't get much time together. We Friday night is when we have like an hour or two where I'm not working. And so even then, it's prioritize that. It's usually an hour.
You're not going to go see someone that you haven't seen in ages to go. All they want to do is go out.
Get a drink.
A drink. And like, I haven't drunk in months. I don't drink anymore. I'm so much better off for it. Not like I sound like I was an absolute pisshead.
Heroin has it.
I was out every weekend. I was still on the heroin a little bit.
Just wasn't drinking.
Yeah, Friday nights, me and Megan.
With the blues.
Heroin with the blues. Yeah. Intravenous blues. But back to Christian. Like, and I think.
Anyway, talking about that, Christian, yeah, it's really good.
That's why I wanted to join him, because I knew he was a blue heroin as well.
hard to come by.
In terms of the name, got coached by Christian, that's why it works so well for him as well, because as you said, it's him as a person.
Yeah.
Like, everyone loves him. And he always says about like, your unique selling point is yourself. And people get coached by Christian to be coached by Christian.
They just like him,
because he bigs everyone up and like he makes people feel good, and he's obviously very well liked. So it works. Like the name, obviously not for me, but in terms of for him, well, he's not coached by Tim, but like in terms of coached by Christian, like CBC, why it works so well is because it's
exactly what it is.
Exactly what it is, and it doesn't need another name really. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask as well. So, how is it? How long have you been working with Joe now?
Three months.
Have you been coached by him before?
No.
No.
I was coached by Christian for 6 weeks.
And it was horrendous, so you sacked it off.
Yeah.
You're like, it's a good thing I'm working alongside you.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, have you got clients?
Bigging you up every week, and you're like, mate,
Christian
I
made me quit bodybuilding.
Yeah. Make me want to go back to functional.
Yeah. I went functional because of him. Yeah. He's just check-ins. I left Christian then went functional.
Yeah,
that was my last ditch to try and stay on. Was like, I'm gonna
maybe just get a cheerleader.
Who have you been coached by before then?
No, just him for 6 weeks.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He'll admit wasn't a great idea. Not because Christian's a great coach, more so me.
Yeah.
I am pretty uncoachable. You two are probably similar in the fact of like when if someone would do something, I am thinking, I won't do that, or I'd do that anyway. Why am I paying someone to do this? Yeah. Like I'd want to do my own training and stuff. But when it came to Joe, I think I've been with Joe 3-4 months. And I wanted to go to Joe as well to learn a little bit more. And like anything I could would be great to take away from it. And it's a change. And it's been great, to be fair. Yeah.
So what have you been doing?
Yeah, what's different?
The breakdown? Yeah.
The training's obviously different.
Yeah.
A lot of LPs.
Everything. What do you like more, LPs or reels?
Yeah.
Them,
I've got a reel coming
out. Gone to my head, I've picked the bullet.
I've got a reel coming out. We've got a reel coming out about LPs versus reels.
I've already been there, done that, bro. You're like 2 weeks behind.
Ours are pissed.
Yeah, ours is a blue pistol.
I liked it when you said it's obviously a length and partial if you're doing who's doing a short and a partial? But it was at the top.
No, 21s, bro. You never did 21 biceps curls in the last seven? Yeah.
It's I feel true. Like that's what we'd have done true. Back in the day, 21s. We did behind the neck shoulder presses, mate, of the Smith.
Every time. I'd do it without a Smith. I'd do front and then back.
Alternating reps.
I'd do like flat bench, incline bench.
Flat bench behind the neck.
Then flat dumbbell. Then flat bench behind the neck.
Then lat behind the neck.
Lat pull down behind the neck. What was I saying? But Joe, obviously training is, I was doing length and partials, but I was just doing them as intensifiers, tagging them on and stuff, but everything is pretty much length
just
and partials.
Just
Yeah.
How have you found it? Like,
I didn't think I'd like it too much at the start, training-wise, from an enjoyment perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
What's the session entail? So like, what's the standard?
What's the most LPs in a session?
How many LPs is too many?
What's an example session?
So like, I've got full body pull at the end of the week. That would be like seated hamstring, very much in hip flexion, LPs.
I told you, mate. Everybody's going to be doing that.
What, in hip flexion?
Yeah. I've done that for quite a while. I only do it on like latter sets.
Yeah, I've got it both. One I don't, one I do. Yeah. And I do I more think higher rep
give
work
it a few months
flexion.
And everyone will be doing it on every
but
set.
But do you not remember it? It kind it of a, came about piece, years like, ago. Yeah, right? Yeah, and then Biomechanics came out and said that there is no difference in lengthening the hamstring when going into a larger degree
of
hip flexion.
You can feel it.
Yeah. But I think you can feel it, like massively.
Yeah.
But I think it was because people would just thoracically bend at the top.
They weren't in hip
flexion. But you can feel a huge difference. Yeah. So Lendon Partial in hip flexion. Mm. And then it was like, then it's like, I was doing an RDL. Mm. No. Yeah, I was doing an RDL.
Remember when you did RDLs with us at Progress?
Still can't RDL.
Yeah, you
did. Your RDLs were shit.
Still
back then,
can't
mate.
RDL. No RDLs difference in load. Mechanically, it just doesn't work.
I remember, you did like 180 and it looked awful. Then you're like, yeah, I'll do 200.
And
we were like, what?
It'll move, but it looks worse and worse. But I've got such long legs and short arms that it just is horrible. So I pull them out and I do bent over flexion rows, which are disgusting. Yeah. I love them. Length and partials on that. Well, the row is the length and partial. Yeah. Single arm, prime row, length and partial, load in the length and range, and then a pull down, which is length and partial, like an upper back pull down. I don't do a length and partial. Sorry, Joe.
So we might as well like get into it. So
I'll pick and choose.
For example, the single arm prime row.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting it fully short, do you feel like that feels worse? Does it feel better? Do you feel like
you're... it feels worse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that because of the profile though? Because it drops off so much.
Yeah,
I think that's probably why.
But even on like a cable, I wouldn't fully contract it.
Don't you think?
I think the contraction.
Yeah, I think it depends on the movement. Like,
if it feels really good, does that matter?
Like a dumbbell lat raise, I can understand doing loads of partials because it's like quite fun. You know, even a normal lat raise.
Why would you do it? The load just drops off. There's no.
No, but let's say you're just doing like a cable. Yeah, that feels quite good to do some partials.
That feels better.
Cable lateral, yeah, very good.
Single arm, calf, way better.
I think calf length partial.
Hamstrings is better.
Yeah, even like leg pressing, like the integrated partials that I really like those.
1.5 reps on that gym echo. Yeah,
but then there's some things where I think that just don't feel right.
Well, that's why I do the upper back pull down, because I feel like when you're doing something potentially isolated or a muscle group that doesn't fail in that length and range typically, I think you don't get too much out of the short. Well, I think with certain exercises, I almost feel, for lack of a better term, other muscles kick in as I get deeper into that short and range. Yeah, so with an upper back pull down, if I'm there, but then when I get there, everything's contracting, right? So I feel like it's potentially not, I'm missing out there. But like research does suggest that it's not, they've done it on most muscle groups, they've done it on most exercises.
Yeah.
I know research isn't everything.
Yeah.
But if you're not getting that much out of that short position on a single arm row, why am I wasting time going into it too much? When it feels exactly the same, if anything, it feels a little bit better. It's like the lateral. It feels like that for me. Yeah. I think it's far better.
I think you should go off of feel a lot, especially when it comes to like isolation movements.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting it fully short, you feel like it drops off so much that it just doesn't feel like I'm doing it. Don't get it fully short. But I think on certain movements, like it does just make sense to actually try.
You probably agree that my weakest body part, not what my weakest body parts are, tell me if you want, hamstrings and biceps, I've never really had any sensation or feel when training them my
whole life.
Whereas
now I bet you're like shit.
Now since doing LPs.
No, it's true.
No,
though,
but
like,
seriously, they're my worst body parts because
I
don't feel them.
My hamstrings, they're not good, but they used to be so bad. Like, I used to have no hamstrings. Like, and now they're actually decent. Yeah. Like, they're not too bad at all because I'm not going to say it's solely down to doing more lengthened work, but it's like I actually feel my hamstrings when I train them.
Yeah.
And like that's got to have some warrant, you know. Definitely. What I mean, I think people neglect, they'll go, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, don't worry about feel or internal like sensation. Just fucking move the
if
weight
it's moving the weight. If you've got good form, it's moving the weight, it's moving.
Yeah. I think it depends on the movement
so far,
but some people then are obsessed over mind muscle connection. But I think there's definitely a correlation that if I look at my weakest body parts, I struggle to get pumps. Yeah. I just move the weight.
Yeah.
Even with biceps, always tip me on a preacher pad, like anything. I'm really struggling to. My forearms will blow up first. Like, I'm struggling to get anything out my bicep. Same my hamstrings, they're my weakest body parts.
Yeah,
there's
got
to be some correlation between it. But now, like going something as simple as going into hip flexion on a seated ham
makes a big difference.
Change the game.
Yeah, it does. Even like, so like I was saying about calves, like. I feel like in that shortened range, like I'll feel my calves contract, but more often than not,
you've
I just
said your calves, you get nothing.
Wrong. I really struggle. Like I really struggle to connect with them, and it's like, what am I doing wrong? Like I'm surely not doing it. I remember I was doing a pin loaded calf press, toe press in Rotherham, and I was training. I can't remember who I was training with. It wasn't you? But I was saying to him, like, I literally cannot contract. I can't even feel it. And they're like, how the fuck can you not feel that? And I was like, I'm doing everything right, the exact same, but I can't feel it. Like, and then I'll literally throw a bicep curl around and my biceps just blow up.
Big arms.
And it's like, so there's got to be something, you've got to think when it comes to that. Like,
you're probably similar to me with calves as well. I've always struggled to actually get to a failure point. because I don't really know what a failure point is because I'm not feeling that much. At the end, I'm just like, probably not enough muscle. I've got no feeling. And I'm like, am I kind of done? Am I still, am I just moving it at this point? I don't know.
Again, it's a lot better now. But again, it comes down to like exercise selection. Like even sometimes now, I'll be like, that just, I don't like that. I need to go back to that. Like movements that I know feel good.
Yeah.
When it's body parts that are weak, I'll really prioritise what actually feels good.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I'd have been like, oh, don't mind, I just fucking get stronger.
Yeah.
And like, they say now, that like,
pick something you enjoy and it's, you'll get more out of it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true, but I think massively you enjoy what you feel.
You enjoy what you feel, though. Feels good. Like, if you finish a set and all that hurts is your hips or your knees, you don't enjoy that.
No.
Like, whereas, like, if you have a set where you get off and you can barely walk after a leg press because your quads are fucking battered.
It's quite clearly done more, than
you enjoy that more, though. Or at least I do, because I'm like, shit, that's worked. Like, whereas if you don't feel it, you're probably not going to enjoy it. So I think it works hand in hand anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good little topic.
And then also volume escalation, which I've always done, but not to the extent that Joe does.
Yeah.
So talk us through, like, is it still similar, like week 1, 2, 3 built up?
Through a 5-6 week mesocycle.
You get to 5-6 weeks?
Yeah.
I thought it was week 4 a deload.
No. Really? I think that's a misconception.
Must be because you're weak.
Yeah, or you don't train.
I don't train. I've missed sessions.
Yeah, all this sort of stuff.
No, I think that is a misconception to the point where if I'm like Joe, I'm fine. He's like, well, let's do another week. We need to rinse another week. Yeah, it's not set in stone.
I don't think it's a misconception. I think it's, for example, Joe, he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. So he's not going to go, you need to deload if there's no signs.
But other coaches,
for people who
copy.
People who copy,
you have to deload.
It's more so just being proactive than reactive to a deload. Yes. Next week, I will be trash.
Let's take it.
Yeah. The week after, this is going to be like
overtrained.
Okay, let's just sit back.
Yeah, which is perfect. Like, that's what generally I think anybody should.
In a hole,
that's what anybody should do. But most people now will see Joe, or like obviously when Physique Collective blew up,
4-6
everyone's doing the exact same. I've got to deload at week 6. Like, fuck off.
I think it's the same even volume escalating, just adding sets for the absolute sake.
And not even progressing.
Not even progressing and adding sets.
So what's your volume like then when it comes to where it gets to? So what would week 1 be? And
week
1
would probably look at like 10 to 12. 10 to 12 for maybe chest and back.
Okay.
Arms probably maybe 14. Legs 8 and 7. Quad, ham. And they'll probably progress to almost upwards of bam and legs. Would probably progress to upwards of 20, if not 20 plus, on some body parts.
How do you feel like the quality is in comparison?
There's going to be some quality drop off.
There's some quality drop off, but I only have 6 exercises in a session. Okay. So instead of doing 4 back exercises, I'm doing 2. So if it's 4 sets, it's just instead of 2 and 2. I think people forget, if I've got 6 sets on a bicep and I really like that bicep exercise, you give someone 6 sets and they're like,
so,
what?
Yeah.
You give them 3 and 3 and they're like, yes, Alan.
Yeah.
You know? And I am that guy when someone comes and asks me now, how many sets you got left? And I'm like, 6. And I'm that guy who used to fucking hate and be like, that cunt's got 6 sets left. And now I'm like, 6 sets, bro.
6 sets, bro. Sorry, bro.
Yeah. 6 but, my rep, like, rest, poor sets, bro.
We do 3 and 3 a lot of the time, but like,
but if someone's head, if you say 6,
movement, you just stick on it.
And if you get a good pump, the amount of times I've like, just done a few sets, especially if like food's high and you're in a good group,
do another one. Do a drop set, add it in.
Even on a lot of things, like yesterday, I was like, that first set of squat press felt fucking mint. I'm going to do a second.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
And I think your recovery is fine and the quality is not dropping off a ridiculous amount. Why not? And like, we know we do desensitize through a training block. If you go give a newbie a new program, he'll have ridiculous DOMs. Week 2 it'll be less. Despite even progressing load and reps, we are desensitizing. We increase food across mesocycles as we plateau. We desensitize to pretty much everything. It's the same with training. So escalating that volume alongside the desensitivity does make sense. And it's also the case of, like Joe says, that over a full macro cycle, we will still massively desensitize as well. So the deloads won't be as aggressive as potentially at the end of a macro cycle. That will be like, let's fully take some time away.
I agree with that. Like coming out of a prep, especially considering like last year for me, I'd take a deload that was like 3 or 4 days, like 6 weeks after.
And you're fine.
Yeah, but like towards the peak of my off season.
You've got to take stronger.
I think I had 8 days off and I remember on that 7th day, I was like, I'm still pretty
still battered.
Yeah.
I feel like now, like we were saying, weren't we? Like, I said a month ago, I was like, I probably need a deload soon. But then I've just carried on and I've been sound because I've just like manipulated volume a little bit and I'm like, I still feel all right. And it's like, well, yeah, it's because you're 180 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not peak strength, peak off season, peak food. Like, of course I feel okay. But like, probably in 6 months.
When stress is climbing, everything's super, super high. Yeah. Then you've got to properly wash it off.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty good to see as well. Yeah. But you know, escalating volume, if your recovery allows, you know, your soreness, your pump, I track pump proxies, and I've got my clients doing that as well now, in terms of how good the pump is. You know, if that's dropping off as well, that's a fantastic indicator to suggest that. Yeah. We need to pull back, or we need to deload at some point as well. Honestly, I'm loving it. You know, drugs is pretty much identical.
I was going to say, any ped changes, or is it pretty similar?
No, pretty much identical. It's just test mass, Nova Rapid, Lantus, and GH.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm running more than I've ever ran.
Okay.
Which is still less than a gram. If it's less than a gram, it's a cruise, right? So I'm still cruising.
Oh, so you're cruising out.
No, but I've never pushed drugs that, but high at all. And this is coming up to the highest I have pushed them. And I've seen a lot of people who's been with Jove almost not pushing drugs, but you know, potentially with certain pathways, you can put them a little bit higher than you initially thought. It's pretty good.
Sitting
at 245 now.
And then food, where's that at?
Just over 5K.
What's your macros? Because Joe likes higher fats, doesn't he? I've seen,
My fats are 75.
What training days?
Yeah.
And then what's not that high? No, for
that's
5K.
Not that high. No.
Top of my head, I don't know, because I follow a diet plan. 290 protein.
Okay.
I can't think where my carbs are.
Yeah.
Rest days 4-4, 4-3.
Yeah.
I think.
How quickly are you gaining?
That's the thing with me. I get to a body weight, it sticks. Yeah. And what I gain is fat.
Yeah.
I think it's just so irritating. And you'll know with me, everything's on my midsection. It always is. Yeah. Everywhere else is fucking lean, really lean. It's always on. It just blurs and blurs and blurs. I'm probably gaining at half a pound to a pound a week. So nothing too aggressive, which I think is far better. And to be fair, over the last year or so as well. And I reckon you two are similar. I have, even with clients in the gaining phase, the rate of gain that I push now is very so minimal compared to what I used to, and even used to push on myself.
I think it depends on age and
age and situation and coming out of a prep.
If you're
or whatever.
A young team,
but
as you can get pretty soft pretty quickly, it actually makes some really good progress.
That's the only,
if
you
train for 10 years,
like,
the main people that I'll push hard, it's they're in the first 2-3 years of training, or they're just very young. Or
maximize everything, or coming out of show, or rebounding. But for most, especially deeper into the off season, the slower the better.
I'll always say that literally, when you've got an adequate amount of body fat, why would you try and gain faster than the slowest rate possible? If you can gain a pound a month, let's say you gain, as a natural especially, if you gain 12 pounds in a year, and you look similar composition. Obviously, you're going to gain some fat. No one's gaining 12 pounds of muscle in a year as a natty.
No.
If you gain 3 to 5, that's fucking mint.
Even females, if you're gaining 1-2,
you'll look
ridiculous.
That's
going to make a big difference in a bikini physique.
Exactly. We were discussing rate of gain. We were basically saying slower the better.
Yeah.
Have we got any other topics we want
Anything
to cover
that you wanted
I was
going to
say, just to add to that, I think it's really important as well, coming towards a prep, of slowing that rate of gain down.
Yes.
Gaining that extra body fat for the sake of a couple pounds of muscle, you're only going to have to pull it off, and then you lose the tissue anyway.
This has
changed
massively.
You need to slow it down, because you might gain maybe half a pound, a pound of muscle with 4 pounds body fat, but pulling that 4 pounds body fat off at the end of prep, you're going to lose that tissue anyway.
It's like that stage, I like to run a pre-prep, then have that phase in between.
Where you
it might be 4 to 6 months. But if you can, even in that 4 to 6 months, if you gain minimal weight, and just work
that
sort of capacity up, you look so much better, you're fresher, you're fuller, you're I'm ready to diet, but I've already pulled off a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I feel like back in the day, late 2018, 19, 20, it was more so
get
okay,
food
you start
as high
prep,
as you can before you start.
How many do you know that you've got someone's food high and their phenotype is literally their diet on low food? You make a 1,000-calorie change and they're not changing. You've got someone on 4.5K and they're still dieting on 20 to 100. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean everything building your food up.
No, Sanaa, I remember prior to her first prep, she was throwing up a cream of rice, and Tom was just more food
great
to start
spot.
In prep. Don't know. And she was soft, and I remember thinking, because I was
why
what
are
you
still
doing?
Pushing,
I was you should
just
literally
start early.
Do some extra cardio, eat a little bit less, get that routine nailed, and then when you actually make a drop,
the most vital thing is your routine and your mindset. I've been saying to clients recently, do you feel ready to prep yet after the pre-prep? And some of them are like, I don't know, probably not yet. Like, it's maybe been like 2 months.
Yeah.
And like, but I'm getting there. Like, and then others are like, yeah, I mean, I want to go now. Can we start? Can we start now? And the ones that are like, can we start now? I'm like, well, yeah, like we can start a bit sooner than we planned because why matter. Not?
It's something that, you're only going to have an easier prep.
You'll be ready a bit earlier. You can lose slower. We can run refeeds and stuff a lot easier.
Then pre-preps, especially from a routine perspective, they really do solidify a prep routine.
And they show you who's
ready for
got
it
and who hasn't at the minute. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going into my first prep and I was like doing, because it was like I was finishing up uni, so I was like doing my dissertation shit like that. I was doing like 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day because I was like literally training out my shed. I was doing like minimal cardio, sleep was all over the place. And I was like, right, finish uni, week after, starting prep. And it was like such a shit shift where I did my pre-prep diet in 2022 and I kept cardio in every single day. And I remember saying to Finn, like back end, like, start prepping like too much. Do you reckon I should change cardio? And Finn was like, no, just keep it in, just do it the same. Just maybe do a little bit less intensity and build up. And I remember when prep came around, it was like, oh, I actually feel this isn't prepping. I'm still doing cardio. I'm still in that routine. I'm still doing steps.
That's just the most
food.
The most successful preps and the people who are the most successful are the ones who live their off season just the same. And it's just, oh, I'm doing a bit more cardio, a bit less food. Yeah. Oh, my food's going down again. My steps are going up a bit. And it's like
the
phase life
doesn't change. It's just the food. Yeah. You see with who's done well post show. Obviously, post show can be sensitive and it's difficult for everyone. But you see who rebounds well and does well in the off season is who's taken post show seriously and just tread their off season, basically like a prep.
And I think it's the people who love training well. And just love the process of it. Yeah. It's not doing it for
social media.
Yeah, social media or other reasons.
You can tell straight away.
Okay, I think that's a good ending point.
Definitely, well, that was very good.
Do you want to plug the numbers?
I can't see it.
So, guys. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We're on 547. We're only recently just hit 500, so let's keep that going. And we're on 820 on the Spotify followers, so we're closing on 1,000. If you haven't given us a rating as well, please give us a rating, 5-star on Spotify.
And we should also say shout out to Conte Sports because they sponsor.
We're
soon to get a Conte sign apparently. Yeah.
Well, if they sort it out.
Yeah. So Pete, any chance?
Yeah. That'd
be great. I'm seeing Pete on Saturday. Actually.
Yeah. I'll tell him to delay. Are you coming to the?
Yeah, you got the invite to the shoot on Thursday.
Not got the invite.
Not good looking enough, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
It's a shame.
Yeah. And final thing. Yeah. Where can people find you, mate, if they don't follow you?
Tim Stewart_TeamCBC. I think Instagram. It's that. But most will know me.
Most in there. Everyone.
That'll be in the thousands after this episode.
Yeah,
let me see. It is TimStewart_TeamCBC.
Yeah, on Instagram, and that's pretty much it, really.
Yeah. Put a link we'll put a link in the description. So yeah, we're now going to do a Q&A. Hopefully, everyone's enjoyed. Thanks for everything, story tags, questions, all that sort of jazz. See you later. Bye bye.